We will be in Luke chapter 1 this morning. If you guys want to start turning there in your Bibles, you'll have plenty of time to get there. We're going to be listening to one of the Christmas carols here yet this morning. But I'm sure you guys all recognize that Christmas is quickly approaching. No doubt everything you're hearing is starting to talk about Christmas more and more. Stores are definitely getting busier. I ran into a couple of stores yesterday to grab some things, and wow, those parking lots were full already. A lot of you guys have been having to go to different family gatherings that have been going on, hitting them up about every weekend until you get to Christmas. And I'm sure if you guys are like me, you're starting to see that every site that you've ever ordered from is starting to send you emails about all their Christmas specials and when the last day to order online before Christmas to have it here on time. You've probably seen the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation or Home Alone or Buddy the Elf, whichever one tickles your fancy. Probably been seeing that on TV plenty of times by now. And I'm sure there are a number of Christmas songs that you're hearing are getting to be more and more. As you guys know, last week we started a series called Carols, and we're looking at some of the popular sung Christmas songs this time of year. Last week we had looked at the song The First Noel, and we focused on the importance of knowing what it is that we're singing, how that funny little word, what it actually means, what we think of when it's coming out of our mouth, what aspect of what we're talking about is being focused on. The First Noel, it's been around for quite a while. So long that nobody knows who actually wrote it, just the region that it came from. This week, though, we're looking at a much, much newer song. One that's become more popular just about each and every year. One that more people are starting to record cover songs of it and putting it on their albums. You might have heard of it before. It's Mary, Did You Know? And there are plenty of things to think about with this song. Plenty of lines in it to chew on and consider. So let's go ahead and we'll listen to that song here first, then we'll talk about it. I'll say the song is definitely new compared to most of the other Christmas songs that we sing. We know exactly who wrote this song and even what the occasion was that it was drawn from. See, the lyrics of this song was written by Mark Lowry in 1984. It's younger than me. That's saying something. Now, no one had actually heard it, though, until 1991 when it was first sung by Michael English. If either of these men sound familiar, it's because they were both a part of the Gaither Vocal Band at the time. And it went on to become much more popular starting on the 1998 album. So it's definitely fairly new when you put it into perspective. Last 25 years is where it's been gaining its popularity. See, Mark Lowry wrote these lyrics based off of a series of questions from a Christmas program that he had written for his own local church. It was some ponderings that he was asking himself. So let's start considering some of those lines. I'm going to take out a lot of the repetitive parts and highlight some of the variouses. Did she know this? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did she know that he would save our sons and daughters? Did she know that her baby boy has come to make her new? The child that she delivered would soon deliver her. Did she know that he would give sight to a blind man? Did she know that he would calm the storm with his hand? Did she think about how he had walked where angels had trod? When she kissed her young little baby, she kissed the face of God. Did she know that the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the dead would live again? The lame would leap, the dumb would speak the praises of the Lamb. Did she know that that baby was actually Lord of all creation? One day he would rule the nations. That baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb. The sleeping child she's holding was the great I Am. These are a lot of questions being asked. The questions asked during the song all seem to be open-ended. You don't hear a single yes or no throughout the entire thing. Now, personally, I hadn't given this much thought until a friend of mine who enjoys making videos made a YouTube short, Instagram reel, a TikTok, whatever you want to call the short vertical videos that are going around right now. And my friend had answered it in a very comical way. His name's Joshua Verwers, but I'll share a link on Facebook later today or tomorrow. Some of you guys may have seen it last year when I shared it online. And I'll briefly describe it to give you a little background of what it is. And a little bit about Josh. He's actually a former professional wrestler turned pastor now. So he dusted off one of his wrestling moves, and he starts singing Mary Did You Know, and then all of a sudden, a big old slap. Why? Because Gabriel already told her in Luke. So that is where we're looking at this morning, is Luke chapter 1. Starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Okay, so there you go. She knew. She knew. I guess that was an easy answer. Let's just go ahead and get out of here. No? Maybe this song isn't worth singing after all. Okay, so I poke at my family a lot when this song comes on and someone starts singing it. Because Mary was clearly told by Gabriel that this will be the Son of God. He will reign over Israel. His kingdom will have no end. So why is it that we're asking if she knew or not? Why is it that we're stuck on singing these words, "Mary, did you know?" Well, you might be thinking, "Well, Pastor John, you're telling me that she already knew that Jesus would walk on water? That she already knew that he could calm the storm with just raising his hand? That Jesus would restore multiple people's sight?" There were at least 8 times that Jesus healed this, people's sight, by the way. You might be asking me to prove that Mary knew that all of this would happen. Well, I mean, Gabriel did tell her in verse 37 there that, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." So surely, anything that Mary might fathom, she would recognize that Jesus could do it. You know, Mary firsthand witnessed a miracle that a normal person would have said it was not possible. She was pregnant while still a virgin. Mary, even while raising Jesus, she saw how Jesus was different than the other children. See, they lost Jesus. They lost Jesus, the Son of God. He wasn't with the rest of the group when they were heading back from Jerusalem after celebrating Passover, because Jesus had stayed behind, and when they finally found him, he was hanging out in the temple. He was among the other scholars, and he was listening and talking with them. They were amazed at the conversations he was having. So she knew this was no ordinary child. She knew that he was indeed the Messiah. Surely she didn't forget what the angel had told her, and she accepted all this and embraced it, right? I mean, it was Mary who told Jesus at the wedding supper in Cana, how they had run out of wine. And then she told the servants that, hey, whatever Jesus tells you, do it. You can trust him. Mary was there at the beginning of all these miracles and signs that Jesus was going to do. She was not oblivious to what it was that Jesus was saying. She had a personal relationship with the King of Kings. Even before Jesus got older and would do all these signs, she had faith. She believed. But at the same time, she was young. She was not mature yet. Just because she's the one that God used to give birth to Jesus doesn't somehow make her better than everybody else. She simply agreed to God's plan. She wasn't perfect. She wasn't holier than thou. And that is the beauty in the song. You can see grace in it. You can see grace through it. You can remind yourself that God uses people, normal people, ordinary people. That is what is really good about this song. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Yes, we see where Gabriel did tell Mary that in the book of Luke, but it doesn't mean that the whole song is for nothing. Some songs are good for worship, praising God for who he is, praising Jesus as King. But some songs are meant to inspire us. This song, if you take Mary, Did You Know out and start thinking about it from an outside perspective, think from an outsider looking in, think about the Christmas aspect in it. You might go, wow, we can look past Jesus as a baby. See, when Jesus was a baby, did Mary think about what it would be like with Jesus as he got older? Mary wasn't perfect, but she was willing to be used. She had said there, let it be to me according to your word. So we give grace. We embrace the grace that God has for everyone. We can consider thinking about what Jesus did while he was here. Mary, did you know? Let's spin it around and look at it as ourselves. If we look at it and think of the importance of Jesus needing to come to the earth, we can start looking at it and say, New Life, did you know when thinking about Jesus at Christmas time as a baby, that he would one day walk on water, that he would save our sons and daughters, that Jesus has come to make us new. The child that Mary delivered was the way that Mary herself would have to enter into the kingdom of God, to be delivered from her own sin and flesh. Did we know that after he's a baby, he would give sight to a blind man, that he would calm the storm with his hand, that he walked where angels trod, instead of kissing just any baby, it'd be kissing the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. Hallelujah. That's such a great thing to think about, that this simply small thing would truly allow us to live eternally. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. We fully embrace whatever healing God has. Even at His birth, Jesus is Lord of all creation. All nations will bow to Jesus. This little baby is heaven's perfect Lamb. The sleeping little child that she was holding is indeed the great I Am. See, we can look at all these things that He did. We remember His goodness spoken throughout the song. Remember the wonderful things that He did. And remember that He's not done there. This is what I love about Holy Spirit ministering to us. I purposely don't talk to Ashley about the message before we give it in service, because the prophetic gift that she has, only God can line up what is being said and line it straight up to what the message is on. Who are we to put limitations on God? Jesus can and will do anything. We can't say, no, He can't do that. But at the same time, we can't tell God to just do this or that. There's a difference between limiting God's plan to what we think is possible and telling God that He must respond in this way. See, unless we've heard from God ourselves that He's going to answer it in a certain way, that's not how we need to be sticking our feet in the sand on the prayer. Now, I have people send me stuff all the time. And some of the things that I hear people saying, I hear it, but I leave it lay until I hear God tell me that specifically myself on whether or not to agree with it. We can't blindly be beating that drum unless it's what we've heard from God ourselves. We can, though, have faith that what God wants to do is good. Whatever the outcome is, we still praise Him. If He brings about change through this person or that person, or even changes of the heart of the one who is causing the issues, we will honor God through it. That's a whole lot better than saying, God, do this. This person is the only one that I can see to bring about the change. I'm insisting that my prayer is the only way You're going to do it through that person. I've worried about putting this next part in. I'm going to still do it. Sorry, not sorry. If Donald Trump gets back in the White House, that is not up to us. It's up to God. We praise Him either way. He's not the only one that God can use. There are other people that God is raising up just as much to be a voice for Him in this society. If you don't believe me, look at some of the things that He's done in Florida and Texas. It's why God does things through a plurality of people more often than not. It's not just one man. It wasn't just James, it wasn't just John, it wasn't just Peter, it wasn't just Paul. It was all of them put together that God used. And He continues to do that today. He used each and every one greatly, but it was all for a snapshot in time. It's the way He's always done it. You look at Esther. She was there for such a time as this. It's all for God's kingdom. God is the one constant through it all. So when the time comes to vote whoever the next candidate is for the White House, I'm laying it before God. With God, nothing is impossible. It's a matter of seeing what God is saying or doing. It's a matter of embracing God and hearing His voice. Embracing Him in the relationship that we have. We're merely here to reflect His relationship in this community. God wants us to shine. He wants us to recognize Him all the time and say that, hey, God, whatever it is that you want, let that be so. It's not about us. It's about Him. Mary was just a teenager when she had Jesus. Most scholars put her around 15 or 16, but no more than 17 years old. God does amazing things through seemingly normal people. The only thing significant about Mary and the prerequisite for why God was choosing her to use was that she was betrothed to Joseph. One of who knows how many people that had descended from King David. He was just a man. At some point, Joseph became a carpenter. Jesus was referred to as the carpenter's son. But he wasn't reflected as a royal man. But because of those simple things of descending from David and both of their willingness to be used, God used them to fulfill his promise to the nation of Israel. See, this promise would lead to far more than just deliverance for Israel. It would deliver each and every one of us today as well. It would free us from our sin. It would free us from the guilt of sin. It would free us from the penalty of sin. So singing Mary, Did You Know, we walk out what David says in 1 Chronicles 16, starting in verse 7. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. Talk of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Continuing down in verse 23, sing to the Lord, all the earth, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are His place. Give to the Lord, O families. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The word also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said amen and praised the Lord. remembering his works, God gets all the praise. God should get all the praise anyway. He should get the recognition. We serve an amazing God. He makes a way when there is no way. We expect the worst, but then he makes it so much better. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Anything is possible. We can't hold on to any one thing so tight that we don't allow God to do something with it. If God wants to change it, so be it. If he wants to remove it, let him have it. He gets the praise either way. Sometimes we get caught in our routines, in our traditions. We have to let God be the one to decide. We need faith. Faith that God does wonderful things. He does big things with small things. Mary was still a kid, yet God did great things through her. You consider seeds, those tiny, tiny things, yet they grow into so much bigger. Every person who is on this earth was born as a baby. Who's the most famous person right now? Let's go with Elon Musk. He's making a lot of news in the, or making a lot of waves in the news right now. So who would have thought then when he was born that he would turn out to be who he is today? His parents may have thought that, okay, he shows some promise. But did they ever think that he would end up where he is now? Who would have thought when I was a kid that I would end up where I am now? Growing up as a kid, I thought I would be doing woodworking or carpentry. I thought I'd be working on stuff. I hadn't even really considered engineering at that point. I certainly didn't think I would ever be a pastor. We can't write off things, though, because we don't see them as probable. We have to keep an open mind for whatever it is that God wants to do. Mary, did you know, asks us, hey, are you looking past the current circumstances and looking at what might be down the road? We see how people's lives are changed by Jesus. All these instances that Mark Lowry reminds us of in the song, people weren't the same afterwards. They left different. Some physically different, some their outlook was changed, some their heart was transformed. We can't rule people out because we don't think they're worth spending time with, or we don't think that they'll do any good. Well, we think it's pointless because they'll never change. I know personally, I wasn't going to change on my own. But once God entered in, whoa boy. Once God entered in, he put new desires in me. We have to give it all over to God. If we give it to him, he'll amaze us every time. When it's done with his plan and his timing, nothing can stop it. We have to lay it before God. Don't hold on to it that this is the only way that it can be done. Whatever route it is, God will give us a peace about it when we make that decision, after we've laid it before him. He's faithful to show us the answer. See, when we accept that God is the God of possible, whether it's someone singing, Mary, did you know? Or if somebody asks us, hey, did you know? When we say that, yeah, God can do anything, then we're saying, yeah, we know he can do that. We're not ruling it out. So, Mary, did you know? It's a great rhetorical question in this case, but it's a good reminder to us that God wants to do great things through small beginnings. All hearts clear? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for taking control. Lord, whatever we're holding on to too tightly, God, we turn it all over to you. Lord, just as the word came forth during worship, Lord, We release control to you, God. Lord, whatever your plans are, they are indeed good. So, Lord, help us recognize anything we might be trying to hang on to too tightly. Lord, we give you full control to change our hearts, to release that from us right now, God. Lord, we know that you are the God of possible. Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. So, Lord, we embrace whatever it is that you have planned. We release our expectations, God. Lord, we have an increased expectation in what it is that you want for us. Lord, help us walk in that as we go forth. Lord, help us embrace you, not just in this holiday season and this Christmas season, God, but in every day of our lives. Lord, remind us of your goodness. Remind us of your faithfulness. Remind us of your very personality. Lord, we love you. We praise you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right.